This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello, all you grave robbers and hand jobbers. Welcome back to Rude Tales of Magic, the only podcast God fears. I hope you're ready for a thrilling climax to a four-year campaign. Hold on to your butts, because this is a medically thrilling episode of podcast excellence. And you can trust me, I'm not just the host of Rude Tales of Magic, I'm also the Surgeon General. All right, good luck. See you on the other side.
Who's that birdie we all know? Is he holy? Most say no. But does that bird belong in hell?
God said no to that as well.
Everyone knows it's stir fry.
So you see, Ginny, that's why you only pull the fire alarm once a year. Because otherwise, you'll get a reputation and they'll expect it coming. But if you only do it once a year, it will always be a delicious surprise for your friends, peers, and teachers.
Ginny looks up at you. She's covered in whatever that shit that comes out of the some fire alarms when you pull it. She's covered in that and she nods. She tries to lick her face like Scooby-Doo, but she doesn't have a cartoon tongue. It doesn't work. She goes, ah, bleh. Well, that's a good lesson. I'm gonna go wash my face. She walks into her bathroom, leaving you alone in her bedroom.
Be careful. She's such a good child. And I am a really good guardian angel. Cool room, too.
Stir-Fry walks over to her little desk to see the homework she's been doing.
Yeah, you see her desk. You see that she's been reading a bunch of Peter Purity Private Eye novels. They're just like all over the place. You see homework. She gets great grades. You see great. She has like folders. Everything's very neatly organized. And you see her homework. It's out everywhere. You even see she's been working on. She's been writing in perfect like little kid sort of cursive. When you're first learning cursive, she's been trying to write out an ending to the Peter Purity and the case of the Virtuous Banker.
Wow, this shit's good. Ooh, she's gonna be a writer. Oh, that's so fun. My little Ginny, the writer. And look, she even signed her writing with Virginia.
Stir-Fry looks out her window to see like somebody and puts the pieces together of what that lake means and the accent that he heard her use.
You look also, your eyes dart to a calendar and the calendar says 60 years ago.
Oh my God. Virginia is my client. I'm Virginia's guardian angel. I'm the guardian angel of the person I killed? Is that what? My God, that's what you do. This is why I'm too intimidated to actually talk to you when I'm up there. You got a way of thinking about things. I've got to make sure she doesn't meet me so that I don't kill her. So I've got to make sure she doesn't become the Virginia that I meet.
The door creaks open and little Ginny with the clean face walks in. What are you saying out loud?
Ginny, this is fan fiction and disrespectful to the real writer. You shall not write mysteries. You shall write histories.
She looks at you completely heartbroken.
Everyone knows it's stir fry.
Welcome back to Rude Tales of Magic. We're in the home stretch now. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Not bothering with a recap. This should not be your first episode of Rude Tales of Magic. But I gotta say, if it is, I respect and fear your Liv Moss attitude. In many ways, you are the ideal Rude Tales listener, a huge idiot who doesn't listen to anything or anybody. I love you! The door to Lexicon Matters' office opens, and you see before you all of it laid out. Bellow, this counts as familiar terrain to you, which would provide you numerous tactical benefits if I hadn't burned my player's handbook for warmth during the early days of COVID. You especially can tell that this place has been changed by Lexicon. The entire room is now black and white. Every piece of furniture seems to be alive, bouncing up and down pleasantly to the jazz music that scores the office. The dean's familiar window looks out on the campus and hell itself. He spins around in his enormous leather chair, and you see the man plainly before you. That's not the dean, you would be thinking if you were stupid and thought the dean would be. You saw the dean in the last episode.
We saw the dean.
It's Lexicon Matters. He seems like he would have once stood a measly 5'10", but his arms and legs stretch out rubber hosedly. Well, well. If it isn't the prodigal students.
Bellow sniffs the air. There's been redecoration.
That's right. There's been a change in management. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Lexicon Matters.
I'm Frederick de Bonesby.
Hello.
I'm Albie.
Someone could have stabbed him or something.
Please, please. And he spreads his arms out and he goes, you're welcome to try. And his whole body turns into a large target.
Ugh.
Try me. Stick a knife in me. See what happens.
Albie reaches into like the belt of her tunic.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls out a dart, which we haven't seen her use in some time. And she flinches and throws it.
Yeah, make an athletics roll. Darts is a sport.
Ooh. It's over a 20.
Over a 20? You get a bullseye. It hits right in the very center, and blood starts squirting out everywhere. And Lexicon, he gets a panicked look on his face. He goes, no, what? It wasn't supposed to be that simple. How anticlimactic. Oh, my God. What a waste of 4 years. No. And he just begins to bleed out. He goes, no. And from beside you, you hear Lexicon crying, and he's just blowing. He's just blowing his nose into tissues. Oh, no. What a terrible tragedy. Isn't it awful that the man Lexicon Matters was killed? Just kidding. You can't kill me. You can't kill me at all. And he saws his own head off and, like, throws it at you, and all of you turn into bowling pins, and he knocks all of you over, and then the bowling mechanism. I don't know what it's called, but I know it to look at it. It collects all of you, and it dumps you into leather seats in front of his desk. He wheels around again in his leather seat, and he says, well, if we can dispense with that nonsense, I'd like to offer you a job.
What?
A job?
Yes, a job. I'd like for all of you to work here at Lexicon Matters School for the Brave.
It might be hard to juggle that responsibility. We are all students, actually.
Well, I think you've learned enough. I think you've had an exciting and unforgettable summer. I've been following you here on this little television. Do you know what a television is?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Ha ha, idiot.
What is it?
And I'll show you.
Okay.
And a screen comes down and you watch the Rude Tales of Magic, the Nelvana animated series. And you, very patiently, you watch just like season after season. Oh, it's critically acclaimed. As voice actors really do, honestly, a piss poor job of recreating you guys, and just like repeated backgrounds passing, and you see the adventures of all of you. He goes, it's my favorite show. He turns it off though. He goes, but we haven't seen the last episode where all of you come to the school and get jobs.
What the fuck?
That's not what we're here to do.
Oh, you're here to do a lot of things. You've been trying to do a lot of things this entire time, and I'm trying right now to offer you a job here. And as he says that, a big neon sign with a cartoon of Lexicon's face, it falls from the ceiling, and an enormous, I'll say neon pink cursive letters, it reads, congratulations. You suddenly find yourselves on a stage, and there's a studio audience of tiny Lexicon Matters, and they're all just cheering and whistling and hooting and hollering. For all of you. Lexicon Matters, the real one, he walks towards you. He has slicked back hair now in a large, boxy, sort of 80s style suit. And he's got a long, thin television mic. And we
the audience at home, we see you on grainy old TV footage as you're all handed an enormous novelty check that says a job on it. The real life Bello, Albie, Cordelia, and Freddie watch on a small TV in a bar in Providence, Rhode Island, and their eyes light up, and they grab each other's shoulders and they go, "That's us! Hey, that's us!"
Oh, that's so cool.
Wow. Yeah. That's us.
Wow.
We never see them again. but we see again on the TV screen as Lexicon, he forces a pen into your hands and he tries to guide your hands to sign the large contract, and it's dense with microscopic text.
Wait, you didn't even tell us what the job is.
It's for teachers. I want you to be professors, all of you. You're all experts in your field. Just sign this, and we'll deal with all of that gobbledygook, well, that legal nonsense afterwards.
I mean, yeah. What are the terms?
Oh my God, the terms are incredible. You get tenure. You are a. You know what? Why don't you just let me explain?
Down here we heard that bell. Why I had to ring the thing, I couldn't tell. Cause down here no rules apply. But school is amazing, I'm a stand-up guy.
You see where this is going. You've got demands of flowing into a dam that has been dammed. I am the dean. Join me, get extra credit. Deny me, you'll regret it. You'll get suspended on a
quiz. Why not toss off your cares hat?
Come on and be my friend. We'll hit the town, go on.
Single spotlight hits a lidded silver platter wearing a pink feather boa on a grand piano. The lid does not lift, but a mouth forms on the platter as it sings to you.
You may think my fate is tragic, but that's one thing that it ain't. No, 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 no. Just because I got all gobbled up by my papa, that don't make this girl a saint.
Up there, your class dismissed. All your friends are going home, not as older kids. But down here, it's summer vibes. With all your friends together, stuck forever on time.
Work one class a semester. Pass fail for every tester. At every grade, I'll get you laid. You love to teach. You're thrown by every chalkboard. Each TA hot and bothered. Do what I say, and then I'll
get your fucking belly works out.
Come on and be my friend. We'll teach when time off's getting.
Offer ain't worth ignoring.
If you say no, then I'm exploring. Only yawning to the floor.
So sign on this red line.
He presents a scroll to you. It unfurls endlessly, filling the room like water. You're all suddenly dressed like sailors on a tiny rowboat in the middle of a sea of contracts.
Sign on this red
line.
You're back in the office. Lexicon is breathing heavily. You guys want Wonderwall?
No, the thing is, Lexicon, can I call you Lexicon?
Please, please. Lexicon Matters was my father's name.
Okay, great.
I'm lying. I haven't a father.
Whoa.
Oh, what? Sorry.
That's okay.
How'd you do that?
I ate him.
Oh, well.
So your daughter wasn't your first meal?
No, my daughter wasn't my first meal. My daughter was the last meal. My daughter was the meal I got caught for. And those small-minded fools, they drew me and they quartered me, extending my limbs out infinitely. And as he does that, his limbs stretch and stretch and stretch and fill the room. You're just full of limbs. They flatten and they become the rings of a boxing ring. And now you guys are all in the corner and he's putting little tiny Lexicon Matters. They're putting towels around your shoulders and they're sort of training you. And they're just saying, like, oh, yeah, no, it was terrible. It was terrible what they did to me. They drew me. They quartered me. Look, it's the champ. And everyone gets quiet, and a big, muscular Lexicon Matters walks out, and he takes a few practice swings, and he looks at you, and he says, so what do you say? We're going to sign that contract?
Why are we fighting? I thought this was a negotiation.
I'm just saying I'm ready to fight. If you want to fight, if you want to make it a fight, I can make it a fight.
No, hold on. The thing is, we're not signing anything because we're not signing as a foursome. We're a fivesome.
Oh, buddy, that ship has sailed. Your friend's not here.
What do you mean?
He's not in hell.
Of course he is. He died.
He loved his sin so much.
Oh.
He's like the advance team.
take a look at this. And this another screen comes down, but this one, ooh, it's made of clouds. And you see, and there's a little in the corner, it says Hellcam, and you see the bottom of Stirfry's feet, and you're just sort of like looking up at him. And he was just, you see him walking around in heaven, and you see an angel sort of like walking him around and just being like,
okay, so yeah, this is the Guardian Angel program.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so can anyone join, or do I have to be invited in, or have to apply, send an application, write a long essay about why I think I deserve it?
No, you're automatically in the, you need to do the Guardian Angel program.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
okay.
You got to, I mean, you're in, but you know, to really be in, you got to sort of earn your wings.
Oh, I get to earn, I have to earn wings. I have to earn wings.
Well, you have wings, but to get the, you know, the wings.
Right, okay. And so I can have any wings I want? Should I do well in this program?
Just, you pick them now and we give them to you and you become a guardian angel. Any wings you want.
I can pick any wings I want.
There is no limit.
Flies. I want fly wings.
And if you want to take a minute and think about
it. I want the wings of a fly.
If you want any other
translucent, wing. Kind of an ovular wing, like an egg got stretched out. Also, did I say translucent?
He turns the TV off. It goes on and on like that for minutes of riffing.
Get him back. That was her friend Stirfry.
He went to heaven?
He went to heaven?
No, that's it. There's no way that's real, but there's also no way you could have made that up. That was definitely Stirfry. He's in heaven? What?
So, you know, happen? Your friend's not here. It's just the four of you. Why don't you just sign the paper and get the tenure? Come on. Let's be real here. Come on.
It's not what we're here to do.
What are you here to do?
We're here to bring this school back.
That's not going to happen. So why don't you just work at the school?
When, what about all the other students? What about all the students that were here when the school came to hell?
They're being punished. What do you fucking want from me?
Why are they being punished?
Because I don't like them, but I like you guys. I'm offering you a chance to work at the school. What the fuck is wrong with you? And he's getting angry, and his hair is getting, it's like starting to fall down in his face. It was slicked back, and he's got a single strand of hair coming down the middle of his face to signify insanity. And he's just fucking sign the contract.
Can we sign the contract? Can we see the students you're punishing?
You want to see the students?
Yes.
Here, fine. And he opens his door, and you just see a hallway of students just screaming. They're hanging up by meat hooks, and they're just screaming. It's this fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ugh, the piercing wound in Albie's stomach burns, and her eyes suddenly light up, and she remembers that they were told that the thing that Lexicon Matters keeps that is so important to him is on a silver platter. And she starts looking for his daughter's head.
Yeah, you see it. It's sitting on the desk.
Okay.
The silver platter, he's put the lid of it back on, so you see the lidded silver platter back on the desk.
Okay.
He's pacing around the room. He's doing the keep on trucking, just like extremely long legs walking around the room saying, it's so simple. You just signed the contract, or you can go into the meat hook hallway. Which is it? You got two choices. It's extremely simple.
If it were me, Bello,
yeah. I would do the good one. I would do the nice one. I would take the job. But if you want to go in the meat hook hallway, be my guest.
Well, I don't want to spend any time in the meat hook hallway, but...
Then you're going to sign the contract! It's as simple as that!
Well, what I'm going to say is that a good classmate of mine, Troy, has my favorite pen. So if we could go find Troy, I could just get my pen, and then I'll sign with that.
No. This is not my first rodeo, buddy. You're not going into the meat hook hallway and escaping me. You're using this golden pen, this very important golden pen of mine, and you're going to sign this contract right now, or I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to slit your throat, and then I'm going to regrow the throat, and I'm going to slit it again over and over and over and over again. Do you know how many deans there are? I'm the dean. I'm Lexicon Matter. I'm the dean. Do you know how many of me there are? And at that, a mouse hole-sized door opens up in the wall, and a conga line of rat-sized Lexicon Matters emerge, singing, we are tiny deans. We work behind the scenes. To make the school do what it do. Yeah, we run everything. And they swarm you. You are now covered in a swarm. There's just hundreds of these tiny Lexicon Matters, and they begin attacking you with various school supplies. Lexicon Matter stands atop his desk, and he cackles. I'm crazy!
Albie feels that familiar rush of anger and panic pumping through her veins. Instead of the distant drumming she usually hears, it's wooden blocks and xylophones and goofy shit just making her feel that much angrier. She hates this chaos, and she reaches down and she stomps her foot onto whatever surface she can find, trying to mold the earth and create a wave through the room.
And as you do that, the floor gives out beneath you, and you find yourself on an enormous spiral slide.
Whoa!
And you and Cordelia and Bello and Freddy, you are all just sliding down the slide infinitely. And then we zoom out from the slide, and we see now that it was the esophagus of we just like an x-ray vision of Lexicon Matters. And he smiles and winks at us, the audience, as he rubs his tummy and says, "Yummy, yummy in my tummy. I love to eat the protagonists of Rude Tales of Magic. I'm the final arc villain of Rude Tales of Magic." And his head spins around exorcist style before he throws all of you up back into the chair. And he says, "Are we going to sign that paper or what? What are we talking here?"
No.
No, what is it? No, I swear to God, I can keep you here infinitely. I could go forever doing this. I swear to God, I could do it. I will. I love it. I get so bored in my big office looking down at all of my student minions.
You get bored? You get bored?
No, fuck you. What were you going to say? And he points to Freddy.
I'm a maybe at this point.
Fred!
My man! And at that, the contract changes, and it just says Frederick DeBonesby, Frederick DeBonesby, Frederick DeBonesby, like, gets $1 million, Frederick DeBonesby, anything he wants, Frederick DeBonesby, your wish here. And the contract itself, it forms a paper mache Frederick DeBonesby that walks over to you and says, "Sign the paper, big boy."
I would like to speak with counsel and have them take a look at the specifics, of course.
That can be arranged. And at that, a lawyer, Lexicon Matters, appears next to you. He's wearing like a rumpled sort of like Ralph Nader suit. And he says, the way I see it, as long as you didn't talk. Did you talk? Did you talk to them without me? Never do that. Don't touch the cups, okay? They're trying to get your fingerprints.
Oh.
They're just trying to get your finger. That's all it is. They don't care if you're thirsty. They don't care if you're thirsty. Don't talk without me here. Let me just look at this contract. Looks good. I'd sign it.
Oh, you're talking about a police interaction.
Yes, yeah.
I thought you meant this. I was so confused.
I'm jumping all over the place, buddy. And at that, he changes once again, and he becomes like a sort of like a host of Masterpiece Theater. And he goes, "Is this more to your liking? I'll talk to you in your language."
Oh, thank you. Yes, so I am concerned about some red line items that I think we might want to introduce here. But, you know, nothing here is being stated about what's being asked of me, what I might be obliged to give. There's plenty of rewards, certainly, but...
Well, I think it's safe to say you should just sign the paper and that let that be that.
And Freddy, like, blinks and, like, kind of, like, fights off, like, a little, like, pea-sized headache in his brain. "No, you're the other party in the contract. No, that... I can't talk to you about it. That doesn't make any sense. In fact, that's why this whole damn thing doesn't make any sense. No, this school has the finest spellcrafting library on the planet. It should be restored to Cordelia. That is what I am here to do."
"I could make you the sole benefactor of that library. You could be the only one who could go in there. I could do that very easily. All you have to do is sign up the dotted line. It's so simple." You know what? Fuck it. Get them, boys. And at that, all of the marble busts that were lining this this very elegant library where you were sitting, this sort of like TV library set where he was sitting with you, they begin rumbling and they stand up and you see their entire marble bodies and they walk towards you like automatons.
"You're not negotiating in good faith."
"I don't do anything in good faith, my friend." And at that, he grabs the golden pen and slams it through your hand. And he tries to manipulate your hand to make you sign your own signature on the line. He's moving your hand, getting closer and closer to the contract.
Bello runs to Lexicon Matters' desk, and he's going to go and lift the lid off the silver platter.
As soon as you do that, Lexicon shouts, "Get him! Get him,
Get him who? Get him who?
Bus boys!" And all of the busts, they begin flexing, and they're built. They're much stronger than you, Bello.
Impossible.
Charging somehow. Welcome to hell, buddy. They begin charging towards you, and they restrain you, and they grab you. And I need you to make a strength saving throw.
That's a 12.
That's a 12?
Yeah.
That's not enough. It's not enough to best animate marble.
Yeah.
And they restrain you, and one of them very gently puts the lid back on the tray. Now they have you. The marble bust, they have you. And they're just sort of wrestling you and grappling you. And like a brassy rendition of "You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby" plays. Because it's just like, it's hot, dude. It's a lot of hard bodies.
Bello!
Albie, help. These strong busts are restraining me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go.
No, you stay down.
Albie says, "Oh, no," and blood starts gushing from her nose.
flooding the room. It is filling the room more and more rapidly as she takes in the horniest thing she has ever seen.
Yeah, the blood just fills and fills and it's just shooting out of your nose, and it just fills and fills and fills and fills the room until we zoom out and we see you now. You're all in a blender. You're all in a large blender that's just like filling up with blood. And Lexicon Matters, sort of affecting Julia Child, he walks over and goes, "Oh, hello. And now it's time to. I'm really doing more Swedish Chef here. I'm just going to commit to that. Hurdy gurdy. Time to click the blender." And he presses a button on the blender, and all of you begin spinning around faster and faster and faster. And you find yourselves now in a bleeding whirlpool.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It got the pen out of my hand.
Albie starts trying to swim against the tide of this whirlpool.
Albie, you are fighting your own horniness. And if any listener knows, that's impossible. You're not going to win that. You fucking kidding me? No, you can't. No, you're swimming against the tide, and you're just going back further and further and further. You can't do it. You're not strong enough.
Albie realizes that there's still like a jet stream of blood coming out of each nostril, and she just tucks her chin and tries to use it as a propulsion towards Bello.
Yeah, a rousing rendition of Rule Britannia plays as you turn into a battleship and you just like, you are now flying across and you are sailing over to Bello.
Oh. It's okay.
Are you sure?
She's going to extend both arms, one trying to hook Bello, the other is reaching for that silver platter.
Okay, great. You're getting closer and closer to the silver platter, and then tiny Lexicon Matters kamikaze planes, they just begin dive bombing you. You're like King Kong on top of the Empire State Building.
He wins, right?
Stay tuned. they're firing at you. They're just exploding into you, and your tiny Lexicon Matters just cackling, going, "Ha ha ha! Die, die, die!"
She's still going for it. She's gritting her teeth, and she is still reaching forward, trying to get Bello, trying to get the silver platter.
Meanwhile, Cordelia, where are you in this? I know you're connected to Albie.
Cordelia was still attached to Albie by the rapier, and the rapier has extended and gone slack, and is now Yeah, Cordelia waterskis behind Albie. You see the rapier as a line.
Cool. Whee! Yeah, you hit a wave. Yeah, you're just like, you're having a grand old time back there. Meanwhile, Albie, you need to make a strength roll to see if you can reach Bello.
Okay. 14.
14? That's pretty good.
Okay.
Not good enough, though, because you hit an enormous iceberg shaped like Lexicon Matters, who cackles.
No!
Iceberg straight ahead!
Cordelia, watch out!
You turn belly up and you just begin going down, down, down. And then a tiny Lexicon Matters on top of the iceberg just begins cackling, and he's shooting lightning out of his fingertips, just saying, "I'm the most magic man who ever lived!"
But you are a working man. And then Bello is going to reach into his pocket and he's going to pull out a broken puka shell necklace. And he says to himself, "Forgive me. Time to go back to the old me." And he's going to try and cast On the Clock, a vacationism spell.
What does that do? Joe, I completely forgot.
Branson, Lexicon Matters will have to succeed on a charisma saving throw. And if he fails, he must spend the next 15 minutes trying to get as far away from Bello as possible, because Lexicon Matters will be on break.
Okay, great. What does he have to hit?
15.
15? That was an 18.
Brought up.
Sorry. That would have been cool.
Danny, come on.
So at that, Lexicon, you know what though? Somewhere a DM is like, "That was a good idea." And so what happens is Lexicon goes, "Time out." And at that, everything disappears and you guys find yourselves, all of you now, in a break room, like in an office somewhere. Whew. Lexicon, he makes coffee. He goes, "How's it going?"
Albie reaches behind her to see if Cordelia is still there.
Still there. Everyone's back in their original forms.
Albie, do you need like some juice?
Why?
You nose bled a lot.
Yeah, that was a pretty big one. No, I'm okay. I'd like to bring the school back.
Sure. I mean, look, I got a lot of things I'd like to do too, but I'm on break right now.
Okay.
Oh, perfect. Cordelia pulls the rapier out of her chest and stabs Lexicon Matters.
Oh no! No! How? But we were on break.
There's no rules in hell, buddy.
You're right. Even the rules that would kill
kill me. And he pulls the rapier out, and blood is like pooling in his eyes, and he just cries tears of joy. He says, I can't be killed. I can't be killed at all. And he stabs himself in the head with the rapier over and over and over again, and blood just pours out. And then you hear a ding, and he goes, oh, breaks over. All of you are again in the sea of blood, and he's standing atop the iceberg, cackling, saying, I'm the most magic man who ever lived. I defy God to strike me down. Oh, look, no one's doing it. Lightning starts striking at him, and he does a little, like, Irish jig, just, like, moving from lightning bolt to lightning bolt. He goes, too slow, God.
Frederick is desperate to get out of this whirlpool of blood, and he thinks, I'll turn to gas, rise above it. He'll never notice a cloud. And instinctively, Frederick goes to reach into his pouch full of components and grab the necessary piece of gauze that he needs to perform the spell, and instead pulls out a handful of rubies. No, not this, not rubies. Not a dollop of gum arabic. No, not metal shavings. And then these are the components from spells before I became a lich. These are my... And then he thinks, he's like, hi. Remember the words to that one? Remember the words to that one? And then he looks at a lexicon and begins to cast planar binding, which will allow him to bind a demon to Freddy's will. This is
This is a
level 9 spell.
Level 9?
Yes.
And it's about to fuck the whole camp. Oh, damn. Well, I should look in that book. What the fuck?
Yeah, so Freddy says the terrible magic words, crushing a fist-sized jewel in his hand. And you have to beat Freddy's spell DC as he was as a man, when as a level 20 wizard, which is a 18.
18. I gotta beat an 18.
Beat an 18.
Do I have anything I can add to that? Just gonna straight up beat an... There's not like a charisma modifier.
That's...
Like, for example, if you were fighting right now, maybe an insanely min-maxed charisma guy.
Yeah, you could add a +4 to that.
Okay.
Chris, you almost had him.
Boy, you did. You got a 19?
Oh, no!
Oh,
I see. All right, very powerful.
Oh, but it's... A 19 is close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, he got really close. You, like, you cast this spell, and you see a moment as Lexicon, he stops shooting the lightning, and one of the lightning bolts coming from God, it strikes his foot, and he yelps. He yelps, and he grabs his foot, and goes, yip, 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 and he gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and the world, this sort of, like, whirlpool reality around you, it just, it all drains away. And you see a drain on the office floor as it all subsides, and you guys are back in his office, and he's grabbing his foot going, fuck! Ouch!
Yes. Hello, everyone. It turns out with my body restored, so has my entire old brain, and all the old tricks are in there.
Okay, well, no cheating. No cheating, okay? From now on, starting now, we have to play by the rules.
What rules?
Well, if you sign the contract, you'll see.
No!
And the contract unfurls right in front of you, and he moves his hand in front of you and says, sign,
he'll
the
be
contract.
Like, he'll be like, bats his hand away.
Oh, come on.
Hold on a second. You two, Cordelia, you pulled the rapier out. Are you still connected?
Bello, you're looking at us. We're standing next to each other.
Nice try, Bello. And a dunce cap forms on you, and he goes, but you're not the smartest apple in the class, are you? And you find yourself now in a chair facing the corner, away from everyone else, as Lexicon dances around you, playing the fiddle, saying, he's the slowest boy in class!
I haven't had to do this in weeks.
Ah, he's the slowest boy in class, a thing worth making fun of. I'm evil.
All right, so Freddy starts to twist his fingers around in ornate configurations and then locks. He says,
There's an order of initiative.
What?
I can't go yet. I already went.
What are you talking about, Freddy?
It's the rules.
He's right. Everybody has to take their turn in combat.
Wait, we've never done that.
Well, there's a first time for everything. Why not right now? Let's start paying attention to the rules. Everybody roll a 20-sided die.
Where am I going to get that?
Right here. And you see a 20-sided die appears in your hand.
Oh, it's blue.
Blue for Bello.
I got a 22.
22. Pretty good. You must hate me.
I do.
I got a 14.
14. You must dislike me.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I got a 7 and then it just became a 10.
A 7 and it became a 10? You must feel rather neutral about me, but you're fast.
Yeah.
And as for you, Bone Boy, what'd you get?
Fire crackles inside of Freddy's hands and then poofs in a puff of cloud that says 5.
And he looks down and he's rolled a 2 and he goes, well, I'm having fun here, to be honest. I'm having a good time with you guys. That's why I got a 2 when I rolled. And he looks at Albie and says, your move.
And you can't do anything while I'm moving?
No. I mean, actually, yes, I can take an act of opportunity, but yeah, go for it.
Okay. She's gonna, like, just keep eye contact with him and walk over to the desk to the silver platter.
Well, don't do that. Don't do that.
But it's my turn.
Oh, fuck. And you see the silver platter sitting in front of you. Would you like to take an action?
Yes, I'd like to.
I believe this is how the game is supposed to go.
This yes. is incredible.
I would like to open the silver tray.
Albie.
Yes.
You see Lexicon's daughter. You don't know her name, but you see her head on a silver platter. She's also black and white, just like her dad. The family resemblance is so stark as to be uncreative. Was there even a mother involved? Not the kind of world building that interests me. Virgins! She has a flapper bob and enormous Clarabeau eyes. She blinks coquettishly at you as her expression darkens. She smiles devilishly, and she projectile vomits neon green acid all over you. An aggressive rendition of Powerhouse begins playing as the fork and knife on the plate begin sharpening each other. Are these utensils her hands? They are! The answer to the question is yes, buddy, yes. She rolls 14.
Oh, that's a tie with me.
Yeah, that's a tie with Bello. Yeah. Is it a little tiebreaker?
At a 4.
20.
Okay.
What happens to Albie's face with the acid?
It melts away and you're a skeleton just like the bones be.
Oh, looking good.
Holy shit!
No!
Cordelia tries to move.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like trying to take an action.
You're trying to take an action, but you can't because it's Lexicon Matters' daughter's turn. And she goes, no, oh, why did you come and see me sometime? And she, the fork and knife, they extend out and they become like large, like bear claws. And they're going to take a swipe at Cordelia.
Oh!
Cordelia, what's your AC?
13.
Oh, I got a 14. Oh. I'm rolling really well. They take a huge swipe at you for 5 damage.
Oh, shit.
It just like cuts into you. It's just like, it's got fur and flesh and blood and it goes flying everywhere. And she cackles. She goes, I'm even worse than my daddy.
Fuck.
It is Bello's turn.
Bello runs over to DeBonesby. Bello, fuck.
Bello. Freddy.
Bello runs over to DeBonesby. Fred,
eh?
Do you still have a lot of that big magic?
Only the best.
As a spinulator, I can channel magic. Can you use me as a vessel to deliver that magic to Lexicon?
Don't look at me, hon!
I don't know, but we can try. And Freddy smacks Bello across the shoulder, sending him spinning.
Whoa!
Faster. Faster.
I'm doing it!
Make it dizzying.
Bello spins at, yes, dizzying speeds.
Listeners at home throw up as they watch Bello spin. They can't focus on him.
But you've seen him spinulate in Cordelia. On Hell, he's spinning even more dizzyingly. Even to Lexicon Matters, why, it's too much.
Bello, you're spinning and spinning. You're going so fast. Lexicon, he can't keep up with you. And Bello, you reach true spinning. Suddenly, you are perfectly still. The world spins around you. Hell spins on the axis of Bello.
Bello, you hear crystal clear in your mind DeBonesby's voice. I've granted you a time stop, Bello. Use it well.
Oh my god. I finally entered the spin force.
Jesus Christ.
This is it. This is the moment. And Bello draws the blade of Nightmare's Kiss.
See the last issue of Rude Tales of Adventures, dear readers. Dash Ed.
With Hell frozen around him. He thought it would never happen. Bello crosses to the desk. He stands over the platter and he plunges his magic blade into the skull of Lexicon Matters' daughter.
The blade goes into her skull. Her skull splits.
Time comes back all at once. So she screams. She goes, no! 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 And she pauses and she blows a little kiss to the audience. She says, see you in the funny papers! Before she just, she poofs, and she's gone.
Time comes back very slowly. A single painting of the original Dean that has been, with Sharpie, X'd out
It falls and it shatters. Lexicon looks at it. No. No. No, that's wrong. This shouldn't be happening. No, no. Stop. Bring her back. Bring her back. And he points to me like, bring her back. Unstab her. Unstab my daughter.
I don't have to do anything yet.
Sorry. I think it's my turn.
What the fuck?
Yo.
And Cordelia's like, I have a feeling this is going to go really well down here. And she rubs her hands together and she casts burning hands.
Ooh.
And the flame just engulfs the whole room.
The room lights up. It is just like dry wood. Everything burns up. Significant. We just see like a montage of like newspaper headlines that he had framed of like Lexicon Matters takes the school back from the Lexicon Daily. Which is like all of those like pictures of Lexicon, his daughter, pictures of him kicking the original dean in the ass and like chaining him up just out of reach of his wife. Those all burn up. Everything burns up. And it just, you find yourselves now in this like ashen wasteland. It's everything. Everything burns up, and Lexicon looks at you and goes, no! 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 No, my empire! No! How could this? How could this? And he looks at DeBonesby and goes, it's your turn!
And DeBonesby looks at Cordelia and says, that's the only student I'm ever going to have. And then DeBonesby casts Weird.
Ooh.
DeBonesby jumps into Lexicon Matter's head. Searches around in his mind like it's a garbage can, looking for his deepest, darkest nightmare fear.
So as soon as you jump into Lexicon's head, it's just like you are just in a sea of little Lexicon. It's just like an ocean of like Lexicons. It's just like a rising ebb and flow tide of just Lexicon, 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 Lexicon. There's just banana peels. It's the Pacific garbage patch of just like trash and waste and detritus. It's just like, it's disgusting. It smells like shit in here. There's a pitch black sun that's just cackling at you, and it's Lexicon's skull saying, I'm crazy! And you see a plastic bag, and on it in Sharpie is written, worst fear.
Frederick has effortlessly summoned an old-timey diving suit around him, and then he sees the sun, and then with a snap of his fingers, pops on ivory white sunglasses, and he strolls over to the bag, and he grabs the bag and pops back out of Lexicon's head, and then opens it up in front of everybody.
And out crawl all of you. All of you, you disintegrate. Albie, your skeletonized face, it disintegrates. All of you disintegrate as the real yous crawl out of the bag. And Lexicon is getting smaller and smaller, and he's trembling, and he's trembling. And he looks up at you with big baby eyes. He goes, please?
No.
He looks, he goes, no. I. And he stops. And for the first time, you see a new expression in his wild eyes. True fear. He had been mocking it before to try to, like, fuck with you, but this time he's actually afraid. The color returns to his eyes. They go from pale gray to pale blue, the evilest eye color. Honestly, though, they are beautiful. He screams. He's a good-looking guy. I got it. He screams, and you see a wide shot of Lexicon. Color is filling up his entire body, like the mercury on a thermometer sticking out of a sick man's mouth. No! 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 What a world! What a world! It's a reference you wouldn't get, but what a world! What a world! He screams as his long arms and legs, they're pulled back into his body at, bellow, dizzying speeds.
Ugh.
For a brief moment, you see him as he was in life before his limbs continued to be pulled into him. His head is pulled into himself. Now his neck, now his dick, now his chest, now his everything. He's collapsing in on himself like a dying star. Before he dies, you hear him shout from deep within himself, I never got to ride the movies! And he explodes in blinding white light. The ashen wasteland melts away as all of you are hit with a big bang of light and energy. It's a bright light, brighter than the sun, but there's no desks under which you can duck and cover. Nothing but silence and white light. All of you are atomized. Good night, everybody! But wait, hell rules. You each evolve from a single-celled organism back into yourselves in the span of a few seconds. You shake off the primordial goop of the ages, and you see a small figure off in the distance. Everything around you is completely white, but you see a small figure.
What is it?
It's too small.
Can we get closer?
It's up to you.
Bello manifests a magnifying glass and holds it up.
Yeah, you hold it up, and you see, as you pull it down, now it's close to you, a skinny vampire in a bright flowered shirt and tiny swim trunks with enormous grandpa sunglasses and a tanning reflector under his chin.
He sits in a yellow and white striped beach chair.
Greetings, victim!
Oh,
it's good to see you again!
Ivan!
Ivan, what's going on?
I died!
Wait, are you our Ivan or are you downer Ivan?
I'm the upper Ivan.
Hey, my man!
I'm uppers!
Hey.
He is downers!
I like the other Ivan.
Get out of here.
That's 3 out of 4, not bad!
Wow, so have you just been tanning this whole time?
I can see the sun!
Crazy.
That's wonderful.
You can't see what I'm seeing right now. I'm on beautiful beach.
Oh.
Why can't we see what you're seeing?
Everyone gets their own.
Their own what?
You'll find out.
Oh.
Anyway, The big one, want to talk to you.
The big one.
The big one, want to talk to you.
Oh, no, we just killed him.
Oh, no, the real big one.
He nods, and a blue velvet door, which you only now see, appears.
We'll see each other again later.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just really good to see you.
Cordelia.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to see you.
Albie just walks towards the door and reaches out for the handle.
Before you can touch it, you hear from behind you. He holds up a red daiquiri. Is Virgin.
Virgin Daiquiri.
Nice.
What an idea. Who make this stuff? I would love to give kiss to.
I've never read any theory at all. What's after hell?
Albie.
Are we after hell?
Maybe.
Opens the door.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You stand at a crossroad. Your enemies would say this marks the end of Rude Tales of Magic, that you must move on to other podcasts like Chaste Tales of Monogamy and This American Life. Or you can sip from the Black Grail of Truth and see the Rude Tales are only just beginning. A glorious new campaign begins November 28th. And it's all thanks to the crucial aid of our subscribers on Patreon. Join them to keep the show going strong and be rewarded with a feast of ever-growing bonuses. Get your weekly Cordelian Tarot card reveal. Watch movies with commentary tracks from the Rude Tales characters. Listen to fully edited narrative play episodes of non-D&D games like The Comedy of Manus, Beans and Revelry, run by Carly Minato, The Occult Merkborg, run by Christopher Hastings, Unhinged Lasers and Feelings, run by Joe Lepore, and A Very Tim Plattable Honey Heist, run by Tim Platt. Not to mention the strangely relaxing Sleep Ventures by Ali Fisher and Rude Talks of Chatting, where we answer patron questions about the show. Find it all and so much more at patreon.com/rudetalesofmagic. Join now, reject the lies, and never be forced to listen to anything less ever again.
Stir Fry. A 10-year-old Virginia stands before you. For the first time, you can really see who you're looking at. The lines on her face aren't there yet. Those iconic lines, but the kind eyes, they are. Her accent hasn't really kicked into full gear in middle age the way that kind of Midwestern accent does, but there's absolutely no denying who you're looking at.
Ginny?
Yeah?
You're Virginia.
Yeah, what did you think? What did you think Ginny was short for?
Gentleman.
What?
I thought your name was Gentleman, and they went by Ginny because it's so much cuter, because you're such a cute little girl.
Okay. No, though.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but it's not. No, it's
That's what I thought.
Okay, it's Virginia.
Ginny,
why are you looking at my stuff?
Ginny, I knew you in the future.
What?
I knew you in the future.
No, you will know me in the future.
But it already happened for me, so I knew you.
But it hasn't happened. What do you mean? What are you doing?
What hasn't happened to you...
You're scaring me.
What hasn't happened to you, it has already happened to me. When I died and went to heaven, it brought me throughout time. The way the guardian angel thing works is not linear. I met you in the future.
No, but time is a straight line moving ever forward.
Gold doesn't care about time. He doesn't care about linearity. He doesn't care about anything except what we do with the time that we are given. And I have been brought back to a time before I was around.
God's a boy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Capital H.
Right.
I haven't really met him yet. I'm a little intimidated. We've corresponded through letters. I feel like when I meet powerful people...
What are you trying to say?
I know you in the future, and I kill you in the future.
She backs up. What?
The things that you...
What did I do? I didn't do anything!
You joined a group that did things...
Well, then I won't! Stop! Leave me alone! Go away! You're scaring me!
I'll leave you alone. I shouldn't have been around you. You shouldn't have met me. I shouldn't have met you. I shouldn't have even been saying this. But I need to tell you something right now. If you join the Witch Hunters, you will die an awful death. And I don't want to do that to you because I did it. And I know you now, and I know the person you are, and I didn't know it then. And I know your value, and I know your consideration, and I know your thoughtfulness, and I know your intelligence, and I know that you put all of it into an organization that doesn't help you be the best version of those things.
How would you know? What's the best? You don't even know the best me. You kill me.
That's right. Because the worst me met you. And if I can be better now, then so can you. Does that make sense? It feels like it makes sense.
It does. Are you used to failing with sentences a lot?
Yes. I'm used to failing a lot, but I succeeded in killing you. You want to die by someone like this?
No, nobody would.
Your own value, your own intuition is so much better than any group could follow. Never follow the group. Never join. What you value, you make your own. There are no rules except the ones you make for yourself, and when you compromise those for other people, you become something that's not you. Does that make sense?
It was such a scary way to say a nice thing.
I can only do things one way. Well, put it like this. I love you, baby. You're amazing. You're such a sweet person. You're one of the best people I ever met. I don't want you to die the way that you died back there.
And suddenly Virginia's alone in her room. She looks around. She reaches out. Nothing. Sits down in her bed. She looks at her homework. She looks at the window. She lays down in the bed. She pulls the covers up. Everyone else. You enter the blue velvet door. And you find yourself in a dimly lit red room. It feels like the back office of a late 70s porno theater. The kind of place George C. Scott would try to infiltrate in hardcore. That's what I put in the last episode. And we're keeping it in. The stench of cigarette smoke is overwhelming. From behind you, you hear a voice. Down here.
Albie turns.
And Albie, you and you alone, because I don't know what the rest of the cast is fucking doing, you see a tiny old woman with blue hair done up in a bygone style. She dresses in animal prints and pearls, and her lipstick is primary color red. Oh, it's garish, but... it's very charming. She wears a name tag that reads, "Hello, I'm the devil." She looks up at all of you. "Name's Lucille. Pleasure."
Bello, who we now learn has also turned, says, "Hi, Lucille. I'm Bello."
Two faces.
"Hello, Lucille."
Three faces.
"Hi."
And the grand finale.
That's me.
She puts out the oldest hand you've ever seen with press-on nails to shake your hand. "Where's the bird?" "I'm kidding, I know."
Lucille, are we gonna see him again?
There had to be a mistake. There was just a mistake.
There's always a mistake. Whoa.
Come here.
There's always a mistake. What do you mean a mistake?
Well, like, Albie looks at Cordelia.
Cordelia looks at Albie.
Like, he should have been in hell. He should have been, like, the first one in hell.
I mean, obviously, he's supposed to be here. Not only with us, but, like, before us.
Like, that's where he was always going.
He was gonna be here.
Unless he's happy there.
In heaven?
It's famously nice.
If Stirfry's there, maybe he's better off there.
Boo!
That's not what I meant.
No, I know what you meant. You meant he was always going to hell, right?
Yeah.
She sort of adjusts. Sort of a wretched little creature of sin and vice, right?
I mean, he was...
until the last second when he made a choice.
Oh.
Yeah, so there
you go. So on those stir fry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But I see four faces.
We were told that Bible was very persuasive.
Yeah. As the Bible for, I tell you, kids, right now, if you take anything away from this, don't read the Bible.
Never.
Don't read the Bible. I like this one. Don't read the Bible. Takes away your free will, and it instantly convinces you. It's so, that damn book, it's so persuasive.
But you go to heaven.
Yeah. It's a lot. Look.
I mean, I'm
talking to the devil.
I'm a tiefling.
Yeah, We don't love heaven. But no, your point stands. I understand. Oh, boy. So how do we want to do it this time?
Well, we're here to bring the school back to Cordelia.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people that got taken with it.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want, for example, our friend Davo to be infinitely crucified anymore.
No, nobody wants anyone to be infinitely crucified.
Well,
I guess a crazy guy.
Lexicon.
A crazy guy. Exactly. He would want someone to be infinitely.
What was your thought on him? Like, did you like him?
She pulls out an old leather chair. She just leans back and he goes, "You got me here? Yeah, I can talk." No, I didn't like him.
Oh, phew.
I didn't hate him, though.
Okay.
I don't hate anybody.
Oh.
I really don't. I got nothing against you guys. In fact, I love you guys.
Oh.
I love everybody, really.
Lucille.
Not that you'd know it. You know, everyone's talking about, oh, the devil's so bad. Oh, I'm such a joke. I'm just God, just like anybody else. Got a free choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody prays to me. Nobody prays for me. And she looks over at a signed headshot of Mark Twain. Okay, one guy. One guy had the common decency. Nobody else, though.
Well, we...
You what? You prayed for me? I would have seen it. I would have felt it. Don't lie to me.
Well, no, I'm not trying to lie. I just... We did a thing. We said hell rules.
Hey. I heard it. It was
yeah.
Great. We love hearing that kind of stuff. But you already know that.
Yeah.
You already know everything that happened.
Yeah.
But how did Albie saying that make all this happen with Lexicon?
Oh, is it the exact right moment? Don't you guys know this shit?
Yeah. We were did? Told. Yeah.
No, it just bears repeating, I guess. Okay. Sometimes the power goes down in hell. You know why? Because I think it's funny that happens. I think it's funny. I think it's funny that hell runs on power. Guess what? It doesn't need to. I could generate as much as I wanted.
Yo, respect.
Yeah, right? I think it's just funny that it did that. And I think it's funny that while that happened, you guys said a little prayer, made it possible. I think this whole thing is very funny. Because honestly, I love you people. I love everybody. Everything. Interesting thing. You wake up full in a world full, not now, but usually you wake up in a world full of actual gods who you can talk to.
Yeah.
And you can make deals with.
Boy, yeah.
And there
what
are
we
each
know?
You turn your backs consciously. You all do this. I guess animals and dumb people don't, but everyone else, you turn your backs on hundreds of gods and goddesses with concrete directions to hell, to heaven. Not to hell. I'm hell. Yeah, I always say it hell. But to be, you know. You know, you've seen it happen. You can see gods. I know you guys talked to a god.
Yeah.
We killed one.
I saw.
Yeah.
That was good. I didn't like him.
It was epic. It was pretty epic.
It was a good arc.
Yeah, thanks.
That was a good arc.
Not cool.
You guys, every single day, you wake up with the instructions on how to go to heaven, and you don't follow them. I think that is so cool. And so I made a little place. I made a little realm when all the gods were young. I was like, that's what's for everyone else. And I'm the god of free will, and I'm crazy about you guys. And you guys caused the whole school to come to hell, which I think is very funny. And one of your friends is being crucified infinitely, which if you could just get a little bit of emotional remove, I think you could admit is very funny. That is some overkill.
I mean, I didn't know him that well. And she kind of looks apologetically at Bello.
He was a pretty good guy, is the only thing.
No, but not that, but conceptually.
Yeah, it's funny that
he's being infinitely crucified. Yeah. And I could stop it, I'm not doing it, because that's pretty funny. I don't got nothing against the guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, how can I help you?
Albie kind of looks confused. We want to bring the school back to Cordelia.
You can do that. By snapping my fingers. I get every single one of you get to ask me one thing. And by the way, and she points
to
Cordelia.
How many
boons? Nope. One for each.
Ugh.
And we are in a realm outside of time right now, so it's not a day's thing.
Boo.
Now, and by the way, if you see Straight again, could you be nicer to him?
What?
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am extremely serious. You don't have to. It is your free will, and I respect that.
He wasn't nice to us.
He can't be nice. You can be.
Albie feels chastened.
I hope that landed, Albie, because he cannot be nice, and you knew that always.
Okay, well...
It's fine. Again, I'm not mad, and I thought it was funny, but...
You're right, ma'am.
What do you want? Everyone gets one.
I mean...
If you want the school back, easy. I'll give you the school. I tell you right now, though, I'm fair. People can't come with it.
What do you mean?
People can't come with it. You can't hold somebody's hand and pull them out of hell. They gotta find their own way.
Oh. Mm. What? So does that mean that if I wanted to bring just the people back, I couldn't?
That's the one thing you can't do. But you can bring the school, you can bring the stones and the school and all that. That can come back in the books.
The people could be freed to find their own way out of hell?
They already were.
Oh.
They were?
They always have been.
But I thought,
are they being
tortured?
They're being tortured, but everyone's free to leave hell whenever they want. They just got to do it.
Does that include us?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about right now.
Well, that's one wish down.
Is that you?
No.
Is that your one wish?
No, I would say for everybody else. I'm still thinking.
All right, take your time. I got nowhere to be.
Can I wish to leave hell?
Of course.
And go back to being alive and see my family? And
you're sort of stringing some clauses together. But sure, yeah, you can do it.
So we could theoretically just all wish to...
I could start you over.
Start over.
I could just start you over. Take you right back to school day.
And that means the school would be back.
Well, that would mean the school never came down.
Yeah.
Oh.
But then none of this happened?
Well, this happened.
Oh, boy. And Bello's going to manifest a comfy chair and sit down. This is a lot to process, Lucille.
Hey, go for it.
Thank you.
You got that demon blood.
Yeah.
Make yourself a drink.
Bello conceives and then manifests a Mountain Dew.
Look at that. Let's hear it for the boy.
Hey.
Oh, this is good.
That's a bad color, babe. It's for a drink. That's not
I decided
good.
It.
I know.
He invented that.
I know.
Guy, that there was no Mountain Dew until a second ago when Bello made it so.
Hilo's Mountain.
He's a marketing genius.
And,
what it is.
And when they're the Dew of the Morn, babe. I'm sorry. This is so heavy.
It's a lot to take in. Take your time.
I thought.
So we could all just wish to go back and not be dead anymore. But then the school wouldn't come back. Or three of us could wish to go back, and one of us could wish the school to come back, but
no.
They wouldn't get to go back.
Babe, we could all wish to just go back to where we started, before we did the ritual.
Very popular wish.
Before the school came down. No one would be down here from the school.
Would we remember?
Nope.
I'd be a skeleton again.
Yep. The whole thing would start all over again, and again, and again, and again.
Wait, what do you mean again?
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 She,
what are you asking? Ask me what you mean to ask.
What Lucille is saying is that, you know, we would just, it's not like we would go back and do anything differently. We'd go back, and then you'd say the blessing, and then the school would go to hell, and it would all happen the way it's happened. We may have wished that before.
Oh my gosh.
She smiles very widely. Maybe.
Like in The Matrix 3. Remember that one?
I do. They don't, but you do now.
I know so many things now.
The longer you spend here, the more the old ones are going to start coming back to you. This is not our first time having this exact same conversation.
Oh my gosh, I remember.
What?
Albie, it hits you just the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times you've had this unforgettable summer.
You turned me down so many times. She turns to Bello.
He's doing his best.
I know. It's just... And Cord... Freddy, this is actually the closest we've ever gotten.
It's true.
Wait, does it go differently sometimes?
Yeah. Every time is a little different.
How different?
Every time I try something different.
And it starts to come back to all of you. Slight variation. Sometimes there's no Val, you can't make it happen. Oh. Sometimes, though, you can make it happen with Ivan. Sometimes it's always just a little different, slightly different, but always the same shape. So one time you guys all have sideburns. You all have big sideburns one of the time. And there's like 70s like classic rock playing the whole time. Sometimes there's one you guys are all in like leather. You're all in like edgy leather.
Whoa,
harnesses.
Me and Stir Fry? Oh.
Yeah.
That felt obvious.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, on his end.
Oh.
And a little on yours.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Let's move this along.
I think I'm done. I don't think I need to do this again.
I actually feel the same way.
I think all I want for my wish is,
Freddy leans over and whispers, he'd like a handgun
mm-hmm.
and his father to show up.
Oh, that could be arranged.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, and I can file the serial numbers off.
Thank you.
They'll never know.
Excellent.
The perfect crime.
Please, let's do it right now.
You got it. And at that, a door opens up and Otto DeBonesby, he's thrown in. What is the meaning of this?
I'm staying here, Father, and it's not big enough for the both of us. And
what the hell are you talking about?
Frederick pulls out a handgun with the serial numbers filed off and shoots his father 5 times in the chest.
Whoa!
Feels like the first time.
Falls over backwards. Frederick,
I forgive you.
Oh, don't you. He sizzles like bacon as he just shrivels up and he dies.
All right, I'm going to have a lot of fun here. I've lived a long, good, as it turns out, many lives. And now I have nothing more to worry about here.
Holy shit, Freddy's not going back.
And Freddy turns the gun around to hand the handle of it back to Lucille.
She takes it in one swift motion. She puts it in her back pocket.
And if I could have just one more, it's just a little thing.
Won't be a wish.
Both of the goblins pop out of Freddy's body, and all three of them go to smack a 4-way kiss on Lucille's face.
Hello, boyos. Mwah!
Hello.
Hello. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, boy.
It's just as good as I imagined.
I feel half an infinity years old. And that, my friends, is a series wrap on prolapse, goatsy. And the big man himself, Frederick DeBonesby.
Albie grabs Cordelia's hand and Bella's hand.
Whoa.
Seems like Fred was dealing with some personal stuff there.
I think, I was aware of it.
But yeah, if we all make that choice, then the school stays in hell.
Lucille is like a million miles away. She goes, he finally did it. Oh, we've been playing a game of cat and mouse for... hundreds of rotations. What a man. I'm sorry, what?
If we want the school to go back, that has to be one of our wishes.
Yeah.
And then what happens to that? Like, if I wish that, then what happens to me after?
It keeps going and going for you. Albie will be there. Cordelia will be there. Stinky will be there. Frederick DeBonesby will be there.
Hold on. If I wish for the school to go back.
If you want the building to go back, easy. And then you stay down here. If you want to start the timeline over, it starts over for you.
Oh. Well, I don't think I want that.
Well, what do you want, Bello? Can I?
Yeah.
What do you actually want? You're a team player.
I know.
What does the Bello show look like?
Well, I don't know. I thought I had a lot of time. I thought I was young and, you know, alive.
Well, you got the same thing everyone gets. You got to be alive until you weren't.
Hey, Bello.
Yeah.
You can choose whatever you want.
You can do.
Okay. I just didn't want you to, you know, choose anything for me.
Well, I shouldn't be. You should choose for yourself. I shouldn't choose for you.
Okay, you don't get it. She kisses his hand.
Oh, thank you.
Albie, you've chosen him so many times.
Well, it wasn't every time.
Oh, yeah.
Bello, what do you want? More than anything else, what do you want?
It was something Strayed said.
What, the boons?
No, not the boons. He gave us some advice.
What did he say?
He said that if we came to hell, we have to see Universal Studios.
Oh, Bello. It's not to be missed. You can ride the movies.
I don't know what those are, but I'm so excited to find out.
There's no better way to find out.
I think, Albie, I think that's what I want.
Oh, my God.
Albie smiles warmly at Bello and squeezes his hand. She puts a hand on his cheek and kisses him and says, go ride the movies, babe.
You could come, too.
That's not my wish.
I know. You're really cool, Albie.
Thanks, Bello. You're really cool, too.
I liked how it went this time with you and me.
This was one of our better times.
And he's gone.
Bello, you're on a fake bike with a bunch of strangers. As an iconic John Williams score lifts you up and you look down on a tiny set of Los Angeles.
This is his fucking way.
No one in all of reality has ever been happier than you are right now. The smell is unmistakable. It has such a distinct smell, that ride. Neither good nor bad.
I'm doing it!
You get to the end of the ride, and E.T.'s father waves to you and says, "Thank you, Bello." Ah! We see quick snapshots of Bello in Universal Studios riding the movies. Look, he's on The Mummy! Ah! He's on the Fast and Furious ride! He's on the like Simpsons indoor ride.
All right.
He's on, I forget the other stuff, and we move now away from Bello, and it's just Albie and Cordelia.
Hi.
Oh. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
I don't know. I just
don't want to start over again.
Yeah, I guess I don't either. Especially not if it's just me.
No.
Right?
Yeah. You said we could just leave. Right?
You could go wherever.
Do you want to just go?
Just like leave this room?
Yeah.
And then
get something to eat, maybe? Some coffee?
okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
I know a place.
Yeah?
It's called the Other Side Diner.
Oh, sure. Do you drink for free there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, you gotta ask.
I bet I do.
Okay. And then there's a lot of other stuff I haven't seen.
In hell?
No. Like, I mean, we can just... She looks at Lucille. We can just leave.
No one's stopping you.
Oh, sure, but... I don't know. Every time we got here, it felt like... By the time we get here, I'm always like, oh, I feel like I'm home.
Oh, you want to stay?
You don't want to stay?
No. No. I'm sorry. I feel like I've been to hell so many times now, but, like, there's parts of Cordelia I haven't seen yet.
Oh, I saw a lot of Cordelia.
Oh, man.
I want to stay. I want to take the job at Cheddar's and pop off blood and hang out with Junior. It's a good spot for me. And then, I don't know, maybe that's just where I'll be. And if I'm really lucky, like, I always thought it'd be kind of cool if maybe Cheddar taught me how to be a patron.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know. One of my favorite parts about every time we come around is when I get to experience magic for the first time. It's really cool. And maybe I could do that for someone. I could do that for you!
Only so I could be in a situation I could go, Cordelia, and I could freeze time.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so.
I mean, a wish is a wish.
Is that what you want? If that's what you want, it's your wish.
It's your life too, though.
Oh, I'm gonna go live it.
Do you want some magic?
Hell yeah.
And Albie. Cordelia's gone. Lucille is gone. You're back in the world of Cordelia.
She looks across the landscape and she sees a mountain in the distance.
From out of the woods, an elf approaches named, like Gom Cumdress. He wears a jester's hat. He's clearly about to ask you for help with some insane bullshit, like finding his dad's golden skeleton.
And she puts out her hand. And she says, Cordelia.
Time freezes, and his pupils stretch out horizontally.
Hello!
Nearby, up in the trees, Flip Cup picks at the freshly killed carcasses of two newlywed elf siblings. Down below, in a clearing along the road where the call stones now never stood, we see an older woman with two kind eyes still inside of her skull, enjoying the early autumn air. She's sitting at an easel, and painting a portrait of a half-remembered childhood imaginary friend, a Kenku, with fly wings. The painting is absolutely awful, but it's all hers. You can tell from the brushwork that this woman has never been a cop a day in her life. Nice work, Stinky.
We cut now to a large pirate ship, sailing the river towards Brian Doyle Falls. Splish Splash is at that big wheel that those kinds of ships always seem to have in Errol Flynn movies. Hot Roddy is tied to the mast like Odysseus, for reasons I have no interest in exploring. These characters, they get up to stuff when I'm not describing them, and frankly, I don't give a shit. Splish Splash looks down at the stir-fry egg with surprise. The sound of a harp, and a single crack forms in it. Something new is being born from that egg. From down below, we hear,
I'm the drowning polyamorous ship captain, and I'm being crushed by this enormous pirate ship. Is this the end of Daystools?
We pan up to see the sky for perhaps the last time. We see the moons of Cordelia, and we see that all of them are shaped as various religious symbols that spell out coexist. The enormous demon known as the Unelected Chorus humps the cross that makes the T. And folks, that is the final image of Rude Tales of Magic. For reasons not clear to me, that's what I chose to go out on. Coexist, folks. What happens next to Albie? None of your fucking business. Good night.
Yay.
That's the end of Rude Tales of Magic, the class dismissed arc, I should say. There is more of the podcast. Please listen next week or I am financially ruined. Good night.
Yay.
That was Ali Fisher as Cordelia, Carly Minardo as Albie, Christopher Hastings as Frederick de Bonesby, Joe Lepore as Bello, Tim Platt as Stir Fry, and Branson Reese as everything and everyone else. Rude Tales of Magic is produced by Bucket of Milk, edited by Sam Grant, sound design by Steve DeLamater, and scored by Casey Toney, with additional sound design from Michael Gelfie and Taylor Moore. And as always, special thanks to Tyler Button and Sydney and Benjamin Paul and our big freak, Christina Lopez. See you in 2 weeks for the thrilling debut of our new campaign, Weird Times in Piss Harbor. Oh! Okay, see you then.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.